from the center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The Pentagon sending a carrier group to Venezuela's doorstep, part of what President Trump calls his war on drug cartels. ABC's Martha Raddatz on the new airstrike that obliterated a suspected drug boat in the Caribbean today.
Hegseth saying at least six people were killed, claiming without evidence the boat was being operated by Tren de Aragua, a designated terrorist organization. It's the 10th known military attack on alleged drug boats, including two in the eastern Pacific Ocean off Central America.
D.C. police say five people were shot near Howard University tonight. None were Howard students. Three weapons recovered, and police have two suspects in custody. An anonymous donor who President Trump calls a patriot and a friend is donating $130 million to the Pentagon to pay troops during the government shutdown. This is 500,000 government workers missed their first full paycheck today. This is ABC News. Sources close to the French Interior Minister say police have collected more than 150 pieces of evidence, including fingerprints and DNA from the scene of the Louvre heist. It was King Charles' first ever ceremonial welcome to the UK when he greeted the Ukrainian president.
President Zelensky was welcomed by King Charles at Windsor Castle. He was greeted with a guard of honor. The king has been a major supporter of Ukraine since Russia's invasion in 2022. He's met with Zelensky three times and often tries to lend the power and aura of his office to support Ukraine.
ABC's Patrick Reeval. UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer called on European allies to send more long-range missiles to Ukraine. A long-hidden Picasso of Muse Dorimar has sold for 32 million euros at an auction in Paris. The painting had remained out of view for more than eight decades in a family collection. Bust of a woman with a flowered hat was painted in July 1943 and sold in 1944. It has not been on the market since. Dave Packer, ABC News.
This update is sponsored by UW Credit Union. For every stage of life, UW Credit Union is here for every you. Fans, here's your Quick Trip to the Ballpark ticket offer. Spend $200 at participating Quick Trip locations and get a free Terrace Reserve ticket to a 2024 Brewers home game. Check brewers.com/quicktrip for more details. Join UW Credit Union at uwcu.org. Insured by NCUA.
Feeling saucy? Then come down to A&W in Boscobel and dip a juicy five-piece hand-breaded chicken tender combo into the signature spicy Papa sauce. Enjoy your combo with crispy French fries and an ice-cold mug of fresh A&W root beer. Dip into A&W and try them today. Cruise on in to A&W on Highway 61 Boscobel, where the root beer is always cold and the vibes never get old. Prices and participation may vary.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Brewers held their end-of-season press conference. The team announcing GM Matt Arnold has been promoted to the team president of baseball operations. Arnold asked about the future of pitcher Brandon Woodruff, who was unable to perform in the postseason. He would only say a decision is coming in the offseason. Game one of the World Series is tonight in L.A., the Dodgers against the Blue Jays. Basketball, the NBA rocked by the arrest of former player and now head coach of the Trailblazers, Chauncey Billups, and 30 others, allegedly involved in an illegal gambling operation. The FBI says it has ties to the mob. The Bucks are on the road tonight. They play the Raptors in Toronto. NFL, Packers and the Steelers Sunday night. I'll have coverage from Pittsburgh. Aaron Rodgers telling us he looks forward to returning to Green Bay.
You know, my football career starts and will end one day with Green Bay. So I got a lot of love for all those memories and a lot of great friends that I still carry with me to this day.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
107.7 WRCE News from the Center.
And home to Matt and Air on Air weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Thickening cloud cover for tonight with lows in the low 30s. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a slight chance of a shower or sprinkle, a high in the low 50s. Sunshine's back for Sunday and warmer. Highs climb up into the upper 50s. Currently, it's 37.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'm joined by the chief economist for the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. We talk about the shutdown status and what challenges Americans face with the removal of the ACA subsidies. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Matt Nair on air.
Attorney General Pam Bondi said that they had arrested the girlfriend of the head of Antifa. Troy from Mount Horeb is on the line. Good morning, Troy. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. I am the head of Antifa.
You are?
And yes, and I think my wife turned in my girlfriend. So.
Oh, you're in trouble now, Troy.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck. And Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It's Friday. Dan Schaefer will be here, Civic Media's political editor and the creator of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area. I know we're going to talk about Jill Underley.
Oh, yes.
And the reports in the Cap Times, among many other things.
Yes.
That's not going well.
No. Some would say handled not well.
Yeah, handled in, Not good. So we'll talk about that with Dan, among many other things. For Audio Sorbet, we're about the Bucks.
We'll talk a little about the Brewers, too.
A little about the Brewers.
I realized yesterday when Paul Noonan was on the show, we didn't talk about the Brewers at all. Not even like the little hint of like, oh, it's baseball's over. It was ignored.
Yeah. So we'll talk about the Brewers season and any memories that you want to share from this past season. Dan Schaefer here for Audio Sorbet. We will wrap up the show, as we always do, with a listener. This shouldn't be a thing.
Jane, if someone is a listener listening right now with their listening ears.
Yes.
And they're like, I have a great idea for Audio Sorbet, or this shouldn't be a thing, or a guest, or a topic, or here's a story you might be interested in. How would they do that? How would they get in touch?
Oh, it's so easy. Jane says at civicmedia.us, JaneSays. Email us at janesays@civicmedia.us. Like Greg said, you can send in your Tisbat suggestions, Audio Sorbet topics, anything you feel like. Send it in to janesays@civicmedia.us. This one was sent in from Peter. Thank you very much, Peter.
Thanks, Pete.
It's great.
Yes.
Take a breath edition. Take a breath edition of This Shouldn't Be a Thing, coming your way around 10:53. So I hope you can join us for that. Wanted to share with you new data out this morning. Showed inflation heated up in September to a pace not seen since January. September Consumer Price Index showed prices rising at a 3% annual rate, up from 2.9 in August, above April's post-pandemic low of 2.3%. This is according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Fox reporting this morning, an increase in gasoline, 4.1%, food, 0.2%, food at home, 0.3%, other things increasing, shelter, airline fares, recreation, household furnitures, and apparel.
Yeah.
So pretty much everything.
Everything.
But it's all good.
But Jane.
It's all good.
But Jane.
Greg.
It's all good.
It's all good. We have a clip.
Yeah.
From, remember Kayleigh McEnany?
Yes.
She was a...
that sounds like a made-up name from a kid's book.
Kayla McEnany. She was in the previous Trump administration.
Oh, so she's a rhino.
And now she works for Fox.
Oh.
And she had an announcement yesterday. Good news, everybody.
Yeah?
Take a listen to Kayla McEnany.
And last but not least, one trend and true brand is making a big comeback as consumers tighten their wallets. And here it is, Hamburger Helper. The mix of mac and cheese and ground beef is seeing a surge in sales.
Yay!
We did it, everybody.
Yay! Hamburger Helper is surging as people can't afford beef. So I guess we're going to have noodles.
Well, see, there's a lot to unpack with that. Just her statement.
She was very smiley.
She was very smiley.
Very, like, very smiley.
It's like she's being paid by the glove itself. She's like, she's handing over some money. Like, here's the Hamburger Helper, people. Big Hamburger Helper. I think that it's very telling on this because, and I don't want to, I grew up eating Hamburger
so
Helper.
So did we.
And Hamburger Helper was the go-to affordable, I don't want to say cheap. It's affordable. The ground beef was affordable. The box was affordable. And there you go.
It was a way to stretch your meal.
Yes, you could feed people with that and then have leftovers for lunch the next day. But it was an affordable way of doing it. And nothing against Hamburger Helper as an item. Nothing against the people who still eat it. But her excitement, while she says, while people are
tightening their wallets,
I feel like we should focus more on that part rather than how excited we are over a food stuff that has an anthropomorphic glove pushing it. Like, that is just, it's, her excitement is almost insulting.
I would agree with you.
Yeah.
Yes. But again, even though Fox said this morning, core inflation came in up at 3% with an increase in food and shelter and airline fares and recreation and household furnishings and apparel and all those things.
Yeah.
But the president says not to worry.
Really?
Everything is good.
Oh.
Galvin, play that clip, please, from the President of the United States.
The only cost that's really up is beef. And the fake news only wants to talk about beef. And what I did is I made it possible for those people to survive. They're incredible people. But they were being decimated by other countries. And I didn't want that to happen. So prices are way down. Groceries are down. Everything's down. Energy's way down.
Yeah.
Even interest rates with a bad chairman of the Fed. He's terrible. He's a,
everything's way down.
He's your chairman, dude.
Everything is way down. Maybe you're not actually seeing that when you go in the store. I know I'm not.
I guess.
But in his world, everything is down, you guys.
Well, it's easy. It's like Ron Johnson. We were playing that clip of him saying that the healthcare
subsidies
and just the rise of costs is not going to be a major gut punch. When you're rich, it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
And the president has what I assume is world-class healthcare as the president of the United States. So he doesn't worry about that. His food, he probably doesn't realize that some of that food he actually does have to pay for himself. That's one of the underlying rules of being president, is that not everything's free, but hey, $230 million, that's going to come your way.
Yeah.
Point is, for those people who are still mega strong and love Donald Trump, how do you square what you see at the grocery store and at the gas pump?
With his words.
With his words. Where is, what is, the, so I hear it as lying, and my ears are pretty dumb. I'm not a genius. He says prices are down. They are not. This week, I watched gas prices overnight go up nearly 50 cents at a gas station. And Quick Trip in Kenosha. That's not a lie. So when he says prices are all down, except for beef. Beef is just crazy. You're shopping at these grocery stores too, and you're seeing prices go up. What am I missing that you know that I don't, that makes us winning, that we're not getting as people watching the prices also go up? I'm seriously, I want you to explain to me the 4D chess that's being played right now, where he says energy prices and grocery prices and all these prices are going down, even though they are not. What is the secret that I am missing?
855-752 4842. Also, what kind of grocery prices are you seeing? Are you seeing them down anywhere? I'd love to know. We'll all go shop there.
Yeah.
That would be great. And I think it's important to point out also that in that clip that we played of Donald Trump, the people he was referring to who are suffering and struggling are the people in Argentina.
Yes.
He's not talking about Americans who are struggling to put food on the table. He's talking about bailing out Argentina to the tune of $40 billion because he wants to help them. I know we didn't need any allies anymore.
I mean,
do we need allies?
We seem to be losing them.
It's America first.
So, yeah.
I thought it was America first.
Yeah. And 2 weeks ago, it was $20 billion. Then it became $40 billion. Don't be surprised when it becomes $100 billion, when it becomes a in perpetuity pledge of billions. This is not ending. This is not how that works.
No. And the other thing, speaking about tagging on or prices rising.
Yeah.
And I saw this morning. We're not going to have a lot of time to talk about this. But the big blob of a billionaire ballroom. So he has said that this is being funded by donations from all of his donors who want access to the White House so that he can do them favors. What about the electricity going forward? What about the maintenance of this building? What about staffing this building? What about furnishing this building? Mm-hmm. I would assume that taxpayers are going to be on the hook for that stuff.
Well, yes. I mean, also, what about all the people who worked in the East Wing, which, by the way, is gone.
It's gone.
It's gone.
Completely gone.
The East Wing no longer exists on the White House. Weird. Where do all those people go? They have to be put into new spaces unless they were just fired. Because it was office space, there was living space, there was security there. Where does that go? That also costs money. Do you have to build in new spaces, do new offices in other spaces? What happens to all those individuals? This goes right back to the Qatari plane.
Yes.
It's not a $400 million free plane. It is a plane that needs to be, that he wants to use, that must be retrofitted to be secure like Air Force One. We pay for that.
We pay for that. And then he gets to keep it.
And then he gets to keep it. And there is upkeep. There is staffing. There is constant technology that needs to be replaced. Those things, if you ever want to see something actually amazing, look at the process on how they update Air Force One. They take it apart down to its ribbons and scrap and put it back together to make sure everything is good. That is going to cost us a lot of money. Yes. This East Wing ballroom is going to cost us money. And I'll be very, very technical and very petty about this. But the fact that all those individuals who are on that list of folks who given, they have all enjoyed massive tax breaks. That is our tax money that we've given to them. We're paying for this whole thing.
For a ballroom, most of us will never get into.
No.
We'll never be invited. Well, I don't know if it's so much as an invitation as it is a donation.
Yeah. Yeah. In that administration, it means the same thing. One gets you the other. And I feel like personally, we're just not, I don't know how to make people pay more attention to the fact that because of this president, now our White House, one third of our White House is gone because he wanted a fancy ballroom.
Yeah. He can do anything he wants, you know.
But prices are down, folks. Congratulations. Enjoy your hamburger helper and fill up with less gas.
Well, again, apparently we're going to be using hamburger helper just without hamburger.
It's just helper.
It's just helper.
It's not even helper.
So we're just going to have noodles.
It's hamburger
helpless.
It's
essentially, we're going to be eating noodles.
I'm not against that. I mean, personally, that's a choice. It's a choice.
It's a culinary choice.
Jane, seriously, her excitement.
Let's play that clip, Kelvin, just one more time in case you're just joining us. This is Kayleigh McEnany from Fox with some really happy news.
Yeah.
Kelvin, let's play that clip once more.
And last but not least, one trend in True Brand is making a big comeback as consumers tighten their wallets. And here it is, Hamburger Helper. The mix of mac and cheese and ground beef is seeing a surge in sales.
Who was on the side going, ugh?
No, she was going, yummy. Yay, Hamburger Helper is back. Brought to you by Big Helper. Big Helper. All right.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh. That was just funny. That's a funny play on words.
When we return, the shutdown continues, and even some Republicans are now saying, hey, Mike Johnson, there's actually work we could do.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Right?
That's all coming up. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Let's go get some helper.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced, also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the recombobulation area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area.
This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
The incomparable Jane Mattner.
I have been in radio for 44 years.
It's incredible.
I wanted to be an actress originally. Radio to me was mind theater. Mm-hmm. I could be anybody.
Yeah.
And people could imagine it. It's like reading a book instead of the movie. Is your mind gets to fill in lots of details. And I think that's part of the genuine experience of radio.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our...
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Galby on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment. If you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, coming up in just a little bit after the 9:30 news. Dan Schaefer will be here from the recombobulation area. A lot of things to talk about, Dan, with. And good morning, live stream. Dan always brings several hundred people with him
to
live stream. So thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Right before we went to the break, we were talking about Donald Trump says, oh, all prices are down and everything is good. And Kayleigh McEnany all excited because more people now turning to Hamburger Helper because everything's so good. And we also talked about the big blob of a billionaire ballroom. And Tiffany had a good comment. The East Wing is how the people used to enter the people's house from Tiffany and River Falls. Is it a coincidence that was demolished? Seems like the people are no longer welcome in the people's house.
Yeah.
That's a real good point. And yeah, we're never going to be invited there.
No.
Unless we can all, maybe if we all chip in together and make a donation, one of us could go.
I don't want to. You know what, Jane? You
can, not interested?
You can do it. You can do it.
I'll be the one.
Yeah. There was a post, I think the Lincoln Project posted this on their Twitter account, which was a picture of the demolition of the East Wing, and they said a picture is worth a thousand words. And like, what are we going to have to say for ourselves? What are we going to have left if and when this is all over? Does the next president come in and say, you know what, we're going to try to rebuild the East Wing back to us? Or Jake Tapper made a very, very interesting point in an interview regarding this. A lot of presidents, they like to enjoy what's been done before they walk into office. They're like, it's fine. The ballroom's fine. We'll keep the ballroom.
Well, if you listen to Steve Bannon, who is still out there and very influential, Steve Bannon said yesterday that Trump is going to have a third term and he will be in office in 2028.
Which I think he just said recently, like a couple months ago, that he wouldn't. Like, they...
the plan's in place. Anyway, we are still in the government shutdown, thanks to Mike Johnson, essentially. And this from Alexander Willis, we need the place to be open. GOP lawmakers fume as Mike Johnson refuses to put the House into session. Lisa Murkowski, from Alaska, says
she's got concerns.
She does. The issue is that if we're going to do substantive things like legislation, we can't just do it in the Senate. We need both bodies. We need the place to be open. We need the House to be functioning. The House has been in recess, it seems like longer than a month. I think they've only worked like 14 days in the last 3 months, House members. Because he really doesn't want to do anything about the Epstein files. Because that's what this is all about.
Well, that and swearing in...
The woman from Arizona.
Yeah, the new congresswoman who was duly elected, legally elected. All the votes were counted. She won. And they're just sitting on it. And if you want entertainment, watch him try to skirt past that question every time. Because he has the same answer every time. And now press people, reporters are just like... Everything you're saying is untrue. Everything you're saying there's no precedent for what you're saying. You could swear her in right now.
Absolutely, he could. We're talking about Mike Johnson, by the way, the Speaker of the House.
It's absolutely just.
I saw an article yesterday that said that they expect that Johnson will keep the House shut down through Christmas and through New Year's because they do not. Above all, they do not want to release the Epstein files.
Yeah.
And it might not. Many people have said that Trump's not in it. Trump is not implicated in this. It's all of the people around that they are protecting because they are protecting these people.
Mm-hmm. Adelita Grijalva is her name. I just want to make, I'd like to make be respectful. She is the congresswoman elect from Arizona waiting to be sworn in. No reason why she can't be.
No.
And he has every reason to keep it closed. I almost said right. He has every reason to keep it closed because there is a portion of people who will just sit there and go, yeah, do it. We don't care. It doesn't bother me. I don't say, because there are Congress people who are like, I don't have to work. Fine. And there are people who voted for them saying, yeah, don't do it because we don't have to. Okay, cool. The business of this country is grinding to a halt.
And it doesn't have to be.
Nope.
Representative Kevin Kiley, Republican from California, said in addition to this making it a lot more difficult for us to actually end the shutdown, it also means we're not doing all of the things the House was supposed to be doing this month. Even Senate Majority Leader Tom Tillis, Republican from North Carolina, said there are so many bills we're all working on. I'm working on a number of things. It requires you to be here. Yeah, they could be there actually doing things on behalf of their constituents.
They can actually be there now. They can't get anything passed, but they can be there.
But they can still meet. They can still hammer things out.
There are lawmakers in Washington, D.C. working in their office, doing everything they possibly can. But yeah, we are at a place now where the government shut down. The House isn't working. And it seems to be fine. There seems to be no problem. It seems to be just, don't worry about it, Jane.
Because prices are down.
This is how America wins.
Because prices are down if you just listen to that one person.
Yeah.
It's all good. We have news coming up next. And then when we come back, Dan Schaefer will be here, Civic Media's political editor and the creator of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area. So stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast, statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up around the globe on this Civic Media radio network. Yeah.
News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for Matt Nair on air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The Pentagon sending a carrier group to Venezuela's doorstep, part of what President Trump calls his war on drug cartels. ABC's Martha Raddatz on the new airstrike that obliterated a suspected drug boat in the Caribbean today.
Hegseth saying at least six people were killed, claiming without evidence the boat was being operated by Tren de Aragua, a designated terrorist organization. It's the 10th known military attack on alleged drug boats, including two in the eastern Pacific Ocean off Central America.
D.C. police say five people were shot near Howard University tonight. None were Howard students. Three weapons recovered, and police have two suspects in custody. An anonymous donor who President Trump calls a patriot and a friend is donating $130 million to the Pentagon to pay troops during the government shutdown. This has half a million government workers miss their first full paycheck today. This is ABC News.
A Brewers promotion. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Brewers held their end-of-season press conference. The team announcing GM Matt Arnold has been promoted to the team president of baseball operations. Arnold asked about the future of pitcher Brandon Woodruff, who was unable to perform in the postseason. He would only say a decision is coming in the offseason. Game one of the World Series is tonight in L.A., the Dodgers against the Blue Jays. Basketball, the NBA rocked by the arrest of former player and now head coach of the Trailblazers, Chauncey Billups, and 30 others allegedly involved in an illegal gambling operation. The FBI says it has ties to the mob. The Bucks are on the road tonight. They play the Raptors in Toronto. NFL, Packers and the Steelers Sunday night. I'll have coverage from Pittsburgh. Aaron Rodgers telling us he looks forward to returning to Green Bay.
You know, my football career starts and will end one day with Green Bay. So I got a lot of love for all those memories and a lot of great friends that I still carry with me to this day.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Halloween creeps ever closer, and all the streaming platforms are well aware you might be in search of some good jump scares. Last week, TheWrap.com gave us some scary movies on HBO, and now they're sharing some Hulu offerings, which include The Fly, starring Jeff Goldblum. This 1986 film pulled a 94% on Rotten Tomatoes and is positively disgusting and wonderful. If you want to be scared and laugh a bit, check out Scream. And for those of you who are true masochists, there is the positively disgusting Saw for your streaming Halloween pleasure. I think we are officially out of ideas to watch based on what is gaining traction right now in people's living rooms. The 2010 action comedy The A-Team is finding new eyes after its Netflix release. The film was based on the 1980s TV show with George Peppard and Mr. T. The cast is led by Liam Neeson, who shares the screen with Bradley Cooper, Jessica Biel, and Rampage Jackson. He'll never be Mr. T. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Thickening cloud cover for tonight with lows in the low 30s. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy. A slight chance of a shower or sprinkle, a high in the low 50s. Sunshine's back for Sunday and warmer. Highs climb up into the upper 50s. Right now it's 36.
Don't act like that. Don't wear that. Don't think that. I've heard everything you tell yourself every time you felt different. And I want you to know that you can be vulnerable and powerful, that taking care of your mind is taking care of everyone you love and who loves you. Love your mind. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
30,000 Wisconsinites could be priced out of ACA insurance completely. Former Assistant Secretary for Commerce and Economic Development, Alejandra Castillo. What's the off-ramp here?
If you haven't called your member of Congress, you need to. The off-ramp can only be individuals like you and I calling our members of Congress and demanding that both the White House and Congress begin to negotiate a real solution.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, are energy prices down? What about drill, baby, drill? Matt Randolph, Mr. Global, will join us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Good morning, live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He joins us every Friday to do some recombobulating. Dan Schaefer, the political editor for Civic Media and the creator of the Recombobulation Area. Good morning.
Good morning, Jane. Good morning, Greg. Always wonderful to be here with you at Radio Park and Racine to recombobulate on yet another discombobulating week.
Yeah, it's certainly, there hasn't been one.
There hasn't, we have never had a normal week. I've been on this show for, 3 years or whatever it's been now as a regular guest. I don't think there's been a single time where I've come on and just be like, hey, this has been a normal, very chill. Yeah.
Let's talk
week.
Recipes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that hasn't happened. We're going to start off by talking about State Superintendent of Schools, Jill Underley. This just keeps getting worse.
It does.
It does.
So the background on this here is that the Cap Times published an investigation last week into how the Department of Public Instruction investigates cases of sexual misconduct and grooming among teachers. There's a lot about that story that we can't really talk about on the radio.
Yes.
I would encourage people to read it. It is a tough read.
Yep.
But it is an important story, and it prompted this Assembly Committee hearing yesterday in Madison, but State Superintendent Jill Underley, who oversees the Department of Public Instruction, was invited to attend and help clear up some of the confusion,
answer some
questions. This reporting, which DPI has disputed, has raises a lot of serious questions that demand answers from the head of this agency.
And she did not go to the hearing yesterday. She did send someone, a deputy, right?
There were a number of, people from the department. I think three different people from the department who attended and, were generous with their time. It was like a 3-hour hearing. They answered a lot of questions. Underley certainly put these folks in a tough position, and they think they performed admirably given the circumstances. But what's going on here? Like, why, if you are the head of the Department of Public Instruction, this bombshell story, a year in the making, drops from the Cap Times. She refuses to be interviewed for that story. She then disputes the reporting in that story. And then, if you're not going to answer questions from a journalist, sometimes you're going to end up answering questions in a committee hearing.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened yesterday. And instead of showing up, she was out of state at her alumni at Indiana University receiving a Distinguished Alumni Award instead of answering questions about the safety of children in schools in the state of Wisconsin. It was unacceptable that she was not there.
Absolutely.
This
just gets worse and worse and worse.
From a professional standpoint, it was unacceptable. From a political standpoint, it was stupid.
It was.
This is absolutely, like, she has gone into her second term as the head of DPI. There's no way she didn't know about these things. There are so many chances for her to get ahead of it.
Yes.
And say something.
Yes.
And come forward, come clean and say, we do this. We recognize the problem and we will work on a solution. And we're telling you now because it's important for transparency. And she didn't do any of those things. And she didn't. And she walked right into an election and won it. And also, I keep on thinking about Tony Evers. This is his last year. And this is going to be the albatross around his neck, trying to get things done. And this is what people are going to want to talk about. And she goes to Indiana to get an award. I don't understand the thing. This also speaks, though, to her attitude towards the election, as far as she was so not really the campaigning was not sparkling, in my opinion.
This is not the first time that she I have other obligations.
Yeah.
When she was invited to, I think there was like a Marquette,
debate.
Basically a
was
debate.
A debate.
Yes.
Yeah.
A debate.
Yes. Yep.
And WisPolitics had a forum or whatever it might be. And then she said no to this and no to that and just didn't want to come answer questions from journalists. And if you are the state superintendent, Why are you running from these situations over and over and over again?
Tom McCarthy, deputy state superintendent at DPI, told lawmakers during that hearing, the state database used to display an educator's license status could include more information about why their license was revoked or surrendered, changes that lawmakers called for on Thursday. From what I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Underley's position is that there are problems within the reporting system.
Yes.
That seems to be the excuse.
To a certain extent, yes, that's been part of it. There's also just like, and I think this is always a common complaint among people in Wisconsin for many years now, is that they are under-resourced to be able to investigate these types of things, which, I'm sure is a factor. But if that is the factor, then answer the questions and have that conversation if that is the factor.
Right.
And this is not something that's been going on for, this is not just like a blip.
Right.
Either.
Yeah. Right.
As the Cap Times reporting shows, they broke down what was going on from 2018 to 2023. And like more than 200 cases of, allegations of sexual misconduct and grooming that the department had investigated and kind of shielded those investigations from the public, made it hard to find out which teachers had been investigated, might be losing their licenses. Republicans are all over this. Like they called this committee hearing. They've had press conferences. They've demanded answers. Tom Tiffany had a press conference himself in front of the state capitol yesterday as part of his campaign for governor. And I've been very frustrated to see how quiet Democrats have been in the face of this. I know Underley is, she's a Democrat. She was endorsed by the Democratic Party in the election. But at the same time, like, why are we just remaining silent on a major issue that demands a level of accountability? Like, if there are, confusion about this or whatever, like, have the conversation and have that, look for those answers. But by, again, burying your head in the sand and refusing to talk about this, it's just making the situation worse. And Democrats in the legislature, in the governor's office, the silence across the board on this has been really, really frustrating to see from a party that I often agree with.
And really damaging.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's really damaging.
It really takes. So it just makes it seem like you don't care about the health and safety of children. And that is something that, and I don't mean to swoop in politically, but that's something that the GOP can mine until the last moment. And I don't see a good end for Jill Underley. This seems like a resignable offense, because if this was like two or three teachers or two or three investigations and
over the course of 5 years,
I get that. 200 though, that's a problem that you all know about and no one said anything. And the fact that you said nothing during an election, during your first, like, you could have come into your and said, hey, we found these problems and we're going to fix them.
And here's the fix for that.
Exactly.
Yes.
Instead, they sat there. And honestly, the silence from the Democrats right now is indicative or reflective of the silence from her and her administration during the entirety of her first term, if you ask me.
Right.
If you're just joining us on Matt and Air on Air, Dan Schaefer is here, Civic Media's political editor, the creator of the Recombobulation Area. We're talking about Jill Underley, the head of the Department of Public Instruction, and this really damaging report that came out last week from the Cap Times about teachers looking like they were being shielded after accusations of sexual misconduct. Lawmakers asked the DPI officials who showed up at this hearing, who were cited in the Cap Times reporting, where educators were investigated for these offenses and then able to later reapply for their license. One official said some of those agreements were only for a year or 3 years or a defined period of time. We don't do that anymore.
Well, there was the one story in the initial article from the Cap Times, the one story, I think it was the first teacher they referenced, he quit so he didn't get fired so he could keep his license.
Like, right.
There needs to be, I don't quit, fired. No, there needs to be a paper trail saying why this teacher left. And make it very simple. Like, if it's they left because they're moving, tick a box. They left because they're leaving the industry, tick a box. If it's something like this, fill in the box that says other, but we need to know, regardless whether they're fired or they're leaving, why this happened.
Transparency.
And this leaving to keep your license, are you out of your mind? Are you out of your mind right now? This is, I am really surprised that no Democrats have made any waves on saying so. This is not how, you look at all the other, Al Franken, Robert Menendez.
Bob Menendez. Gold Bar Bob.
These Democrats who were wrong and did stupid things and bad things, they were held to account and they were made to leave office or in Menendez's go to jail.
Or prison.
But this... The Wisconsin Democrats, I mean, has there been anything from the WIS Dems at all as an entity apart from the politicians?
From the party, no. But, I think it initially, okay, let's wait and see what comes out. The fact that she didn't show up in the hearing yesterday,
it's terrible.
I think it really changes the dynamic here. One Democratic state representative in that hearing, Representative Mike I don't know if it's Barr or Bear, but he's from Verona and Dane County. He said on the record in that committee hearing, he said, quote, "I'm disappointed that Dr. Underley is not here. She should be here. I've conveyed to her that her team twice in the last week that she should be here, and she was not."
Jenny on the live stream says, "In the shadow of the Epstein files, the best thing Democrats can do is face this head on and justifiably demand Underley's resignation."
And on top of that, it undercuts the demand of the release of the Epstein files.
Yes.
When you do not do the thing that you are asking for, when you do not take action, but you're asking others to take action, it undercuts your credibility to do that. You say, "We want the Epstein files." Well, why aren't you holding your own person to account here? Mm-hmm. Where's that? It's hypocrisy, and it doesn't help anyone. And again, whether it's Epstein or this, we're talking about the safety and well-being of children.
And, this wasn't even the only negative story that came out over the last week and a half here about Underley and DPI and what's going on. There was another story in Wisconsin Public Radio with the headline, "Audit finds nearly a quarter of Wisconsin schools missed financial deadlines." So there was this big dust up last year about Milwaukee,
right?
About MPS missing its deadline and that information coming out right after
the election.
City voted in favor of increasing their property taxes for a referendum to pay for what was going on at MPS. This finds that Milwaukee was not only not the only school to do that, a quarter of all schools were in the same position. And it's just over and over again, there are these examples of just mismanagement and poor leadership coming from this agency. And you know what? I think makes Democrats politically vulnerable on an issue that they had been a strength for them for so long, which is education.
Yes. Jenny, again, if Democrats want to be the party that says we address what needs to be addressed, even if it hurts us politically, this is how you prove that you care.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
And it's going to be a long time before a Democrat can stand up and say, "We want more money for schools." Well, why? Everything you've done has shown that you can't manage the schools. You can't manage their safety. You can't manage their financials, their budgets, and the kids can't read. Those are easy responses from the GOP. There's more nuanced discussions within that topic. But when Democrats say we want more money, Republicans and people say, "For why? What have you done? Anything?"
And Tom Tiffany held a press conference within hours of this,
I'm sure,
of this committee hearing happening.
Yeah,
they're
sure.
Jumping all over this. They recognize this as an issue that they can win on. And Democrats are silent again.
Yep. Democrats,
it feels like Biden debate situation all over again.
Better step up.
Silence for absolutely no reason.
We're going to continue our conversation with Dan Schaefer. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Did the average S&P 500 CEOs earn in less than 2 days what their typical worker earned in all of 2023? Yes. In 2023, the average S&P 500 CEO earned about $17 million, or about $46,849 per day, compared to under $64,000 per year for the average worker. Median figures were similar. CEOs made $16.3 million, while median workers earned about $81,000, equivalent to less than 2 days of CEO pay. High CEO compensation remains a stark contrast to the modest worker earnings across major U.S. companies. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What is your favorite or least favorite word? Cinnamon. Love that word. And it's a superfood. I don't like the word buttress just because I'm immature. Con.
My favorite word is scoundrel. I would also say buttocks.
I said buttress and you said buttocks. John in Madison says words with silent letters bug me too. Pneumonia. Dumb. Funny because my name is John.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
He is the executive director of Back 40 Action. Will Westmoreland is here. So, Will, we can't sell our soybeans. There's no market for that. But Brooke Rollins, Secretary of Agriculture, says it's all great. What are you hearing from fellow farmers?
Well, Jane, we are the world's leader in one department of agriculture now that Donald Trump is president and Brooke Rollins is Secretary of Agriculture, and that's word salad.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, our one, our only Cal Zone on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. We stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He joins us every Friday, Civic Media's political editor, creator of the Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer is here. You've had quite a busy week.
I've had a weird week. Quite a week. In a lot of ways, yeah.
What's going on?
Should we talk about my weird week here?
Yes.
All right. Discombobulating times as always. So I had a couple different things where, I don't know, stuff that I posted on Twitter. We're still calling it Twitter.
Just random thoughts.
Just one of these things ended up in the new referenced in the New York Times.
Really?
We can talk about that. And another led to multiple segments on News Talk 1130, going back and forth a little bit with one of their morning show hosts, Jay Weber. How do I get myself into these situations, Jane?
Because you still use Twitter.
I mean, I guess that's part of it.
What happened?
But okay, so first we'll talk about the New York Times piece. So I posted the New York Times ran a piece this week about Mandela Barnes and his potential candidacy for governor in Wisconsin with the headline, "This Democrat lost a big race. The party is uneasy about his return." I believe you guys have read
I saw that. Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
So in it, it referenced a Twitter poll that I ran. So it was the day Josh Call said he was going to run for re-election. I was like, well, the one big question left is Mandela Barnes. So I put the question out there. Do you think, or should Mandela Barnes run for governor, was the question. So I had yes, no, and show results as the answers. Yes was 21%, no was 57%, and show results was 22%. So I was genuinely surprised at how few yeses there were.
Oh, no, really? Were you really?
I was. Yeah. I thought the fact that, I mean, he ran a statewide race. I have a pretty left-leaning Twitter following. I thought, hey, he's a well-liked Democrat in Wisconsin. People probably want to see somebody like that run again. I was very surprised at how many people said no and how few people said yes in that. And I know we've talked about this on the show. Jane, you've made your thoughts on this clear.
I think he's a very nice man. I do not see the substance there. I just don't. I don't see the depth. I don't see the substance. I do not see him as being an effective candidate for governor. I just don't.
I don't know what he brings to the table that the other candidates haven't already talked about or bring with their experience. When you talk about Fran Hong or Kel DeRoyes, Sarah Rodriguez, or especially David Crowley, who, I mean, honestly, like, he's a guy who runs a county. That's good stepping stone towards running a state. Mandela Barnes is, to me, he is an activist. He is an advocate. He works in that social justice community organizing, and that's great. I don't think he brings a lot to the table elections-wise.
Well, I just think people are, my sense of it is just that people are apprehensive about it because he lost.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think we're seeing different responses from different sides of the aisle on candidates who have run and lost and would run again.
Right.
And I think we saw it this week with Attorney General candidate Eric Toney, the Fond du Lac County district attorney. He lost to Josh Call 4 years ago. He's running again. But I saw a lot of the conservative media saying, hey, it's going to be different this time.
Right. But I've also seen Tim Michaels posited again as coming back to run again for governor. That would make three times.
Yeah, I saw that too. That was from Dan O'Donnell, who also said that my column about Evers dropping out was part of a coup to install Ben Wickler as governor. So I'm going to take anything Mr. O'Donnell says with the entire salt shaker.
Oh, that's when I need to have the X-Files theme song, obviously. I love when that. Oh, my gosh.
Wait. Go back.
Sorry.
Say that one more time.
So when I wrote my column this summer saying that Tony Evers should not run for a third term, that he should pass the torch to the next generation of Democratic leaders.
Yes.
Dan O'Donnell talked about that column on his show, and he said at the time that this was part of a larger effort to push out Evers and install Ben Wickler as the candidate for governor, and that I was just like kind of some sort of Trojan horse, I guess, for this idea. This, of course, nothing could be further from the truth. I just wrote the column because that's what I believed.
Right.
And Ben Wickler also. Yeah, there we go.
Thanks, Kevin. Wow. I missed that.
Yeah, maybe it was when you were on vacation or something.
Oh, my.
But yeah.
You influence peddler. I didn't. Ooh.
So that was part of that. So I'm taking any of Dan O'Donnell's reporting on the governor's race with, again, the entire salt shaker. So we shall see what exactly comes from the potential Tim Michael. But it's like, you know, Tim Michaels ran for Senate and then ran again for governor years later. Brad Schimmel ran for attorney general, ran for state Supreme Court years later. Dan Kelly ran twice for. There's all these repeat candidates, and it hasn't worked for any of them.
Yeah. They're
saying Tony's going to be the guy this time.
Well, and I saw Dewey Strobel's name come up yesterday.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's like, are there no younger people who want to do these jobs?
Is there no bench at
right?
all?
Right, at all? Right.
Yeah.
We just keep going back and going back.
I'm really surprised they haven't just said, oh, Tom Tiffany, you're good, and just walked away and said, I'll do other things. I mean, honestly, like, he'd be the perfect representative for their guy. He'd be just do whatever Trump said, and they would be happy. So the fact that
I think there's concern about Tiffany too, because it's as our own Mark Becker from Rational Revolution posted on said on his show last week, he talked with Tommy Thompson, and Tommy Thompson told him that he doesn't think Tiffany can win.
Yes, that was I saw that tweet from you. I listened to that, and it was a very frank conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm surprised he said it on air.
Yeah, and Tommy Thompson was saying that, he doesn't think Tiffany can win enough votes in Dana, Milwaukee County to win a statewide race.
But Tommy thinks he could.
Tommy thinks he could. Okay. He always thinks he could.
Yes. This just in, Tommy Thompson still thinking about it.
We have news coming up next, and then when we will continue recombobulating with Dan Schaefer. Stay close. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. This is Matt and Air on Air. We'll be right back.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Five people were shot near Howard University's campus in D.C. Thousands were there for homecoming activities. That from Metropolitan Police Chief Pamela Smith.
All shooting patients have been transported to area hospitals by D.C. Fire and EMS. And at this time, we have two suspects in custody and three weapons have been recovered near the scene.
Smith says none of the victims were Howard students. The Pentagon accepting an anonymous $130 million donation to help pay troops if the government shutdown continues. This after a week that saw no movement toward passing a funding bill. And this as 500,000 federal workers missed their first paycheck today. The Pentagon says it's sending a carrier group to the waters off Venezuela, the latest escalation of military firepower in a region where the Trump administration has unleashed more rapid strikes in recent days against boats it accuses of carrying drugs. Another boat targeted Friday. This is ABC.